Welcome to the BKB official podcast with no less a legend than Sean the Outlaw George. Sean, how are we doing?
All good, thank you, Tom. Nice to speak to you a bit.
You're looking well. You're looking fit. Now, I've got to ask you the question that I get asked all the time. Have you officially retired?
Yeah, I've had to, Tom. Unfortunately, I fish on my family. Like, you know, they all went through it with me, mentally, physically, financially. Like, you know, nothing would please me more than to come back, Tom. It was my passion, like, you know, and to have it taken away from an injury. Something I always said, I didn't want an injury to be the reason I had to stop. And obviously it happened. So, yeah, unfortunately. But as we speak, but I'm officially retired. And I'm gutted about it. I wouldn't believe, like, you know, it's affecting me mentally, like I said, physically, financially. But I always had this daytime job, see, and this daytime job just paid the bills. Like, you know, the fighting took care of us. And I put everything into that sport, Tom. That's how I made it so high up the ladder. Like, you know, that's what I spoke about on High Perspective. Like, you know.
You are, I'm not being patronising, but you are the real family man, aren't you? That's all that matters to you, your family. Yeah. So your health comes first.
Yeah, they're the reason I've always done it, Tom. As you know, but I've always had my daughter's names on my hands and all that before I've gone into battle. And they're the reason I've done so well. But, you know, to take care of them, to give them everything I never had, to keep that roof over their head, like, you know, not have no worries of getting evicted and things like that. There's a lot of that going on at the moment with private renting. So, yeah, you know, I stand here proud, like, to do what I done, like, you know, and supply where I did.
So, I mean, you always said to me every interview that BKB was the difference. That was what bought the Christmas presents. That was what did all the other things. So how are you coping? How are you coping?
Well, I'm struggling, Tom, to be honest. You know, I got to say now I've had help of Joe Brown. You know, BKB have been there the whole step of the way since the first operation right to this day. Now we're speaking, like, Joe's always there for me. So I got a massive admiration for that. But, yeah, you know, I am struggling now financially, like the price of living and all that as well. And, you know, I got all their birthdays lined up, Valentine's Day, Easter, all rolled up into that. Like, so, yeah, it's just, I'm just working to live at the moment, Tom. It's shit, but...
So let's go well back, because I've got you down as 8-5-2. That's your BKB record, officially your BKB record. Yeah. But of course, you fought for Jim and Joe in the UBAD and UBAD days before then.
Yeah, I had 22 bare knuckle fights, 13 wins, 7 losses, 2 draws, a few controversial decisions. You know, the Nathan Leeson draw, the Liam Cullen draw, and then you had the Dan Chapman fight then, and the Tyler Goodjohn fight, all controversial. You know, but the past is the past. But yeah, 13 wins, 2 draw, 7 loss. I've had the British 4 times, 4 different weights. I've had the lightweight world title, prize fighter semi-finalist, featherweight and flyweight world title contender. I'm in the Hall of Fame in America, you know, as you said, but I've been a pioneer of the sport from the early days. You know, I'm part of the foundations alongside Jimmy Sweeney. Like, I've always stayed loyal to the company, but, you know.
You are the two names that anybody mentions. It's Jimmy Sweeney and Sean George. You're the two names that people mention, and rightly are in the Hall of Fame, both here and America. And rightly so. But let's go back. Let's go back just a little bit to the young Sean George. Were you a Looney Tune?
Yeah, I was a bit of a character, Tom, coming up. Like, boys will be boys. I did commit a bit of crime and all that. And I dabbled in drugs and all that. Like, and then unfortunately, but I committed a crime and I ended up in prison. But way before that, I was an active fighter. I was doing Thai boxing alongside the MMA. I had 3 semi-professional MMA bouts. I just won the British Thai boxing title, which I took 8 days notice. My next step then was to go pro in MMA and make a career out of it. Like the names alongside who I was fighting with, like, you know, Jack Marshman, Joe Duffy, Brad One Punch Pickett. I was on the semi-pro circuit alongside all them, like.
So why didn't you progress in that? Because that's a great grounding to become something really special in those sports. Yeah. Did you get distracted? Was it the drink, the drugs, the women and all the rest of it?
Yeah, well, when I was working and fighting, Tom, back in them days, I had the same sort of routine that I had with the BKB. I didn't go out anyway. I had no social life. And obviously, I got introduced to it then. I say I got civilized. That's what I just say. Like, and I started going out and meeting people, you know, partying and things like that. And things just spiraled out of control. My girlfriend left me. I lost my job and all that. And then I just got dug the deeper hole I was in, like, you know. And like I said, I tried to commit that silly crime in my own village. and I end up going to prison and like sort of throwing it all away, like all my friends scattered as they do. But
yeah,
I come out of prison then with nothing and no one. I had to go back home to my father's, like, you know, in my little bedroom and all that. And I had to reinvent myself from nothing, Tom. I didn't have no kids or anything back then. I was in debt up to my eyeballs. I was so. I had to clean up my act, but you know, I had Ayla first, and then I got back working and all that I did, and then I cleared my credit all that up, and then I just started again, Tom. Everything I lost, I got back and more now, like, you know.
I mean, without blowing smoke up your backside, I admire that, because
yeah,
I've never been there, but to come back from that, it's easy to fall into the hole, but to fight your way out the hole takes some courage. Yeah.
I know, Tom, but I'm proud of myself. Like, you know, fair play to me. Like, I always get myself a tap on the back from where I was to where I am now. If you ask someone who I was 15 years ago, you get a completely different answer as it was now. Like, you know, I love telling my story, Tom, as bad as it was. Like, you know, I love telling my story because I'm walking, talking proof, but there's light at the end of the tunnel, whereas, you know, addiction, whatever, like, you know. It just took me in the end, but I had all the help in the world around me, Tom, and it was just down to me in the end, but.
Your story can help a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. But like I said, man, no matter how far down the wrong road you go, but you can always turn around and you can go back. But and then with the BKB, but you know, I didn't just follow anybody's footsteps, but I paved my own path, like, you know. And there's obviously there's people behind me now. There's people behind me now walking my footsteps. Like, you know, I opened the gates for Wales, didn't I? They've all come flooding through from me, like, you know, the Daniel Lurwells, the Dan Chapmans, the Barry Jones and all that. Like, you know, nobody knew what Bay Napa was until I done a podcast with James Lilly. I'm the reason he got into it, like, you know. So, yeah, I'm proud, but, you know.
And rightly so. And did I read somewhere that you got that low that you're trying to kill yourself?
Yeah, twice, but, you know, two suicide attempts, but down and depressed and all that. I owed money out and all that to my mate, like, who I didn't want to rip off. So, yeah, things just went down and down and down. But, and I tried to take my own life at one time, but unfortunately, but, you know, I just made me stronger. But I look back on that and that was a learning curve. I would never do anything like that again, Tom, especially having kids of my own now. Like,
well, you've got an amazing family, wife and amazing family. I've been
people, people just got to understand, but, you know, the dark place I was in, like, you know. Us men, but we suffer in silence. I didn't like to talk to anybody. I didn't really have anybody to talk to, like, you know.
So when did that turn then? You'd been a Muay Thai fighter, a champion, MMA, semi-pro, and then you got into the downward spiral, but you've got out of that. So when did bare knuckle come on the scene?
Right, so I come out of prison, like I said, with nothing and no one, and all the way through my prison, I was, you know, I was looked at as a waste of talent by the screws and all that. I would come in my cell and see all the photos. So I was always destined to get back to the fighting. And I was one of the first things I'd done when I got out was join the local gym where I was at before. And then I'd done a couple more Thai boxing and K1. And then we had Ayla. So I sort of took a step back and then I stumbled across the Bay Knuckle. And I did. It was two boys from my area. Leon Corker was the one and Christian Evans was the other. And, like, you know, I watched them fight on a football field in a boxing ring in Kettering. And I just said, you know, that's a bit of me. You know, I didn't have much money about me. I always had the mentality to just show up and fight. So I just did it for the money I did. But so I got in contact with Jim or Joe back then it was. And their show was in August then in Newcastle. And the rest is history. But I done August, September, October, November, all on the bounce I did. And then it wasn't a show in December. So I had to wait till January. And it was like March, June, November. And, you know, as the shows got bigger and the caliber of the fighter coming through got better, obviously, I had to train a bit more then. Like, you know, it went from the 3 rounds to the 5 rounds. And then me and Liam Cullen were scheduled for the first 7 rounds bare knuckle. Like, it didn't go that long. But obviously, we was the first two scheduled for it.
Was that, that was at the Echo Arena?
That was at the O2 London. This was the rematch. This was with Liam Cullen. I fought.
Oh, Nathan, no, that was at the Echo. The first one was at the Echo.
No, I fought Nathan Leeson at the Echo Arena. Both my fights with Liam Cullen was in the O2, so it was the Echo Arena, and then we had the O2 then.
My memory goes, I was checking BoxRec and it had got you down as the Echo Arena. I'll get that changed.
I know, it's a bit mumble jumble, that BoxRec, and I don't like to go on there, especially with all my fights on it.
So, I mean, I was just thinking that, look, when I looked at your record earlier, you've been in the ring with, I mean, you don't have easy fights, do you? You've been in with some tough guys.
I've rematched six of my opponents, you know, the weights was a bit off in the beginning, but I still took the fights, like. But yeah, I've been in with all the names, like, you know, James Connelly, Jimmy Sweeney, you know, Tyler Goodjohn, the Dan Chapman, all top boys, all boxers compared to myself coming in from Thai boxing. You know, I had a lot to learn, I did, but...
Just tell the listener about your daily routine. I remember you talking to me about it at the O2, about your daily routine, and it was mind-boggling. Like, what time did you get up in the morning? Tell us about it.
Well, the best one was with Tyler Goodjohn fight. Like I said, I always had this full-time job, so I'd have to get up at 3 in the morning, leave my house then around 20 past 3 to be in the gym with Jenko, who's unfortunately in prison at the moment. Shout out to Jenko. So yeah, I'd be in the gym with him then, 4 till 5. And then obviously the bird bath and all that, there's no water facilities there. I'd have to drive then 73 miles to Worcester, like an hour and a half out my way. I do my day job all day then. Obviously, I leave at 5:30. I get back to the gym then, with Vince to be waiting for me. And obviously, we do it all again. And I'd have to go home then to my kids and my dog and prep my meals and do it all the next day, like.
Wow.
I know, I mean, it's unbelievable. But just goes to show, but you want something, you'll do what it takes to get it. Like, you know, the level I was at, Tom, the minute I took my foot off the gas, I felt vulnerable. And so I had to do everything I could do when I could possibly do it, like. And obviously, Tyler Goodjohn, you know, he had a high ranking, didn't he? He was ex-English champion, yeah. You know, ex-pro boxer. And what he did to Navarro, like, you know, obviously, I had to come in the 100%, didn't I?
Well,
which I did.
Yeah, I think you... Looking at, I always have a saying that says, nothing worth having comes easy, and you prove that, don't you? Hard work's the platform.
Yeah. Anything that's get handed to you easy, but you don't appreciate it when you go through the mills and earn it. You appreciate it then, you know, like my house and my cars and all. I lost all that before, and I've worked hard to get it all back now, and I appreciate it, like, you know, this shit job I've had to maintain. You know, I do appreciate it, like, you know. They haven't been no help at all with my eye. Like, you know, I like to say, I like to thank them for absolutely fucking nothing, because they haven't had no sympathy whatsoever. Like, you know, they never supported me, Tom. So I didn't expect no sympathy, but I sort of hit a low point in work. I did, and I had to cry out to them, and, you know, they weren't much help. Like, you think they'd have an obligation to help me and all that, but nah, but they go on about mental health and all that. But if anything, they made it worse. Yeah. I ain't ashamed to say that, but because it's the truth. I'm a real kind of guy, I am, but.
Mm. I looked at your fights, and the first two fights, apart from the first two fights against Eric Olsen, everyone's been for a title of some sort.
I know. I've always been title contender, haven't I? And I'm happy with that. I like British world titles, you know. I won the world title in Wicked Style, and then I challenged Jimmy Sweeney then. They wanted me to have a warm-up fight before Jimmy Sweeney. I said, nah, send him my way. But that was just more for the money. That was Tom, you know. I should have had a bit of time off. I should have went back to the drawing board and that, but nah, I needed that money. I did, but...
Well, I remember, because I'm a great watcher of people, and I look at the O2, and people come to watch a fighter, and they'll come in at a certain time to watch him. But when you're on, or Jimmy, they come to watch, even if they don't support you, they come to watch you, because
you
give value for money.
Always, but always been value for money, haven't I? No, I might not be the best boxer, but I've always been an awesome fighter, but, you know, I got the mentality to just show up and have a crap. I've always put the training in, like, you know. So, yeah, I was confident in every aspect. Like, when I come to fight night and all that, and I just love the old part of it, Tom. You know, the weight cut and all that, getting up there on fight day, traveling to the O2 as a team, seeing everybody at the weigh-ins, going off and having food and all that, and then going back to my room then in the O2, which I always had was my own room. I appreciated that. And I just shut myself away until the time come, and then... Obviously, as soon as the fight ended, Tom, I don't drink or anything, so get me the fucking McDonald's, wouldn't it?
I've been there since BKB1. I've seen some great fights. But I have to say, the ones that stick out for me with you, maybe I'm wrong, but, I mean, everybody will talk about Dan Chapman, etc. For me, though, I thought your draw with Nathan Leeson was special. I thought your fight with Mark Navarro was great, and Dean Smith was a great fight.
Yeah, well, the Nathan Leeson fight, I won that on the scales, didn't I? Because he didn't even make the weight. I was running around all day then telling people it was my last. So that's why I think they called it a draw. Like, you know, I don't think they wanted me to take that title home, but that's just my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the Mark Navarro was when Vince come along. Then I started to move a bit more then, like, you know.
Yeah. I remember sitting
Instead
in the
of just
dressing room
standing
with
the
you.
bang, I sort of learned the box then. I did, like, you know.
I remember sitting in the dressing room at the O2 and... Because I'll be honest with you, when I first met you, I didn't like you too much, right?
Yeah.
I thought you were a bit... I'm not... But when you get... There's a underneath that facade, there's a proper
No,
bloke.
but
There's a
yeah,
proper bloke.
people think I'm arrogant, like, you know, I don't really speak up or nothing unless you talk to me and you realize who I am, like, you know, people are quick to judge,
Yes.
you know what I mean? But yeah, just real Tom, I ain't afraid to speak my mind and whatever, you know, that's my problem sometimes.
Well, I sat with you in the O2 in the dressing room and I said, look, I hope you don't mind me saying, I said, but I think you're improving technically. Do you remember when I was sitting with you in the O2
Yeah.
and it was down to your trainer Cleverley.
Yeah, Vince and
Vince.
Jenko, but you know, Vince have been all around the world with Nathan, his son, haven't he? You know, British, Commonwealth, world title. So he forgot more about boxing and all of BKB will ever learn, like, you know. So he took me under his wing. And then, yeah, man, he put me through the mills, like he put Nathan Cleverley through the mills. And yeah, it showed, like, you know, the skill set come forward, massive leaps and bounds.
Movement, technique,
Yeah,
I saw the
yeah.
difference, which
I know.
sadly, we're now not going to get to see the benefit of all that
I know.
because
Fortunately, Tom would never say never, though. But you know, it might be a time when I'll have to go back. You know.
well, I think you got
Yeah,
to be, yeah, I'll leave that
yeah.
one to you.
People, they just don't
What's
realize what I went through with my eye. And I see Tom. You know, it's
absolutely,
probably one of the worst eye injuries. You're gonna have a detached retina. I didn't know what happened.
yeah.
It's like only three occasions I could put my finger on it. Could have happened in June, the fight with Scott McKew. Obviously, I was getting ready for the rematch, and so I had boys coming up from Swansea sparring. Ego sort of took over, dropping my hands, just eating shots, and I, like, you know, put some cheese on it, and the next thing I know, but I'm on a massive emergency operation on my eye, like.
Wow.
But I don't know whether you follow the Michael Bisping story. I was always familiar with the Michael Bisping story. Obviously, I can relate to it now. Everything he went through, I went
For
through.
sure.
The only thing that didn't happen to me in the end was that he caught glaucoma. He did, and that's what took his eyesight. Then, like,
That's a
he had
real
like.
one.
He caught glaucoma, he had pressure in the eye. They put like a drain in his eye, then they did. And then that operation went bad. They tried to undo it all. And after that one, then he just woke up blind. Like, so I always had to keep that in mind. But
What's the one fight in your career that stands out for you?
I'd probably say the Kev Benner one. That's probably what made me. But that Tyler Goodjohn one is up there as well. Like, and
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
he's going to come in, he's supposed to have his way with me and blah, blah, blah. But obviously, I
He...
dropped him in the first leg, and you know, it was just taught it all away, wasn't it? You know, we showed everything, fight, heart, skill set, boxing, you know, brawling. It was a bit of everything thrown in there, like. And then for it to be a split decision at the end, like, you know, it was
I've got to touch on it, the Dan Chapman fight. In all the fights, that's been the most, what's the word
yeah.
for the most hostile
Yeah.
I've ever
You
seen.
never see me act like that before, Tom,
Never,
though.
never.
I'd have watched the weigh-ins all the time I do, and you can see you stood there, and you can just see how shocked you are from your body language. Like, you know,
Oh.
totally didn't expect it, you know, just come out of nowhere.
But you know, it's as you said, I think earlier, you're not, there's nothing two-faced about you, is there? You are what you
No.
are, and you what you see is what you
Yeah.
get.
Yeah. And with the Dan Chapman fight, Tom, people don't realize. I don't know, like, I'm not saying you personally, you're part of BKB, but you obviously you don't see the ins and outs of the everyday thing. That built up over a year that I did. Nobody wanted to fight
Wow.
Dan Chapman at that weight, 69. I said at the gym, I'll fight him. Bear in mind, me and Dan Chapman was fine before they matched us. So we had the first fight scheduled. He started making photos of me then with like my head on Gollum's body, calling me Gollum and all that. And then
Ooh.
that camp went tits up because COVID come around. And then we had another date. We was training again. That camp went tits up because COVID come around. Bear in mind, he's still chirping up behind the scenes. And then I got cut in sparring, and Abby had a miscarriage. She did, Tom, and he was still chirping up, making videos how he was gonna knock me out and blah blah blah. And then come fight day, then, like, you know, he just got right in my head. But he knew I had to make a massive weight cut, like 2 stone. I had to lose for that fight. And then he knew I was waiting for the food and hungry and. He shows up then, roided up to the gills and all that. And I don't like steroid freaks. See, Tom is cheating in my opinion. So obviously he shows up an hour late, roided up to the gills, but and then, you know, he just started chirping up then, but got inside my head. And then he didn't even make the weight on the scales. But not that I hung around to watch him make the weight after. But yeah, he didn't even make the weight. Like, after all that, he was a disrespectful one. And then come when we fought, like, you know, I didn't really get a lot of frustration out because he wouldn't stand there and exchange with me. But I know boxing is it and not get it. But people don't want to see that in bare knuckle, but they want to see, you know, knockouts, blood, sweat, tears, teeth, you know. And in my opinion, but there was a bigger ring in there that night as well for him to move around. But
I mean, it's you and I will always have, because I'm a bit similar to you. What I see is what I say. But I thought you were beat before you got in the ring that night. I thought he got
to you. But yeah, I didn't want to let it get to me. But yeah, he got right inside my head. And then after then, like I said, the frustration wasn't let out. And I did say a silly thing when I come out of there. I called him a curry boy or something. No racism intended. I could have called him a lot worse. But then he called me a racist then, like, you know. Bear in mind, I got loads of coloured friends and our Baz was one of them. But, you know, so if I wanted to be a racist, I could have called him a lot worse, Tom. And that just pissed me off even more than it did. So I chucked my dog in the car 2 days later, but I went down my stig looking for the bastard.
Oh, did you? Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, I've got to be truthful. You know, I always... BK,
you know what I mean? Like, people got their opinions, Tom.
Yeah,
they don't know the bigger right picture, but obviously you know the bigger picture now. You might have a different assumption on it, like...
Yeah. He's always been all right with me, and I treat people as they treat me, and you know I think he's a good boxer. I think he's
yeah he is, but there's no denying that. But you know his pedigree is awesome. But you know I'm going to be commentating on his fight now. Obviously I'm going to act professional. I'm not going to say a bad word, like, you know, because that's the sort of guy I am. But I ain't up here to cause any animosity or cause any trouble. But Jim and Joe have handed me an important role, but and I'm going to take full advantage of it and act like a professional, which I am, Tom.
Well, I'm looking
what more
forward
can I
to
say,
that.
But...
I'm looking forward to that. You're going to sit alongside me for a couple of fights. And the one thing is, when we're talking, you've been in there. You've been in that bare knuckle ring. So you know what I mean? You'll
Tom,
add
yeah,
a whole
like I said, you can only
dimension.
Say what you see, but so like you said the other day, but you can only say what you see. It's no good talking about the past, the present, the future. Obviously, I'm just here to do a job at and speak my mind on what I see in front of me, Tom.
Yeah,
at
absolutely.
That present time.
How much? Tell us. How much do you miss it?
Oh Lord, Tom, you won't believe, man. You know, if I weren't as strong as I am, but I probably shed a couple of tears by now. Like, but yeah, it was my passion, Tom. I miss everything about it—the preparation, the fight day, the money, and all that. But it's who I am, like, you know, Tom. Like I said, I come out of prison with nothing and no one. I had to reinvent myself from nothing. This is the image that I built. I maintained it there for so many years. And then I just had it taken away from me, Tom. Like, you know, it's a very tough pill to swallow. You know, it's always in my face. I follow the BKB. I follow the BKFC and all that and the BYB. Like, you know, it's always in my face. I'm always going to feel that urge to be a part of it, Tom. Like, you know.
Yeah.
It's shit, but.
What
but
is
then
it
on the other hand, then all I can do then, Tom, is just see this injury as a blessing because I wasn't going to stop. But, you know, I was going around in circles. I was fighting the same boys with the same belts. Look at the Tony Lafferty rematch. I didn't need to take that. I beat him fair and square in the first one. And then I took an immediate rematch. I didn't need to do that. So, yeah, just going around in circles, fighting the same boys for the same titles I got in the house, Tom. I wasn't going to stop, but I would have fought December. I would have fought January. You know, everybody around me had, had enough, like my missus and all that, my family, just sick of the injuries and all that, the heartache, the weight cuts and all that. And, yeah, man, so I just see it as a blessing now, but it was my way out.
I was going to ask you, I mean, your wife's a real proper wife.
Well, she ain't my wife yet, but we're getting married now on
you
May
live,
the 13th.
Listen, you live together, you've got a family. Yeah. To me, she's your
but,
wife. So
May the 13th will be official now.
Will it? May the,
yeah,
May,
the... Married, May the 13th. So we got 8 weeks Saturday now.
Wow. Fantastic. Yeah. So, but she's lovely. No. How does she feel about you getting in the ring?
Well, she hated it. She've always hated it, Tom. Like, you know, she lost her dad to head injury, so she've always looked down on it. And then after that Kev Bennett fight where I ended up in hospital, she really hated it. But obviously she could see it was my passion. It was putting food on the table. It got us that house, so she just had to go along with it, Tom. And obviously behind the scenes, she was the one who picks up the pieces then. Like, so on that note, but behind every strong man, but is a stronger woman, let me tell you. And she's walking, talking proof of that, like. You know, because the weight cuts, I'm not a very nice person to be around. You know, we had that miscarriage and all that last year, and I
Oh,
was
yeah.
still in camp. I
Terrible.
was, so I couldn't really give her the sympathy that she deserved. You know, I was a bit spiteful and selfish on that aspect. Like, so yeah, she's a soldier, but you know, I
Proper.
admire her strength. I do, but fair play to her. I love her, man.
I'll tell you what, it's a good job with that mental strength. It's a good job she doesn't start fighting. She could be a world champion with that mental
Well,
strength.
she is training now, and she done in the club she did and done well. So,
Oh,
and the
aye,
kids
aye.
are down the same gym. So yeah, they're all down Giffey's gym. They are. So you know, I've all rubbed off on them. But yeah, she loves the gym. She does. She goes down there twice a week, 3 times a week, and does the Thai boxing.
So
She's
what
done
is
well
it?
to lo she's done well to lose her baby weight, you know, over the
Yeah.
last couple of weeks. But everybody's praising her up. All her friends are jealous of her, how she done it so soon. She got the same sort of mentality as me, Tom. She just
Listen,
want to focus now on losing that bit of weight for the wedding. That's what she's doing, and she's
mate,
doing it.
listen, you're a great guy, but everybody in BKB knows you're punching above your weight with her because she's
Yeah,
lovely.
you know, but she is, but fair play. I take my hat off to her, Tom. But like I said, man, I'm going to make her my wife, but and we've been through everything together, but we're a team, like, you know, ups and
Brilliant.
downs. And we've
Brilliant,
got them
mate.
three beautiful girls, haven't we? You know, Ayla,
Yeah,
she's about
fabulous,
to
fabulous.
turn 9. We got Avi then, who's about to turn 7. And we got baby Arla then, who's 9 months old already.
Yeah, so just talk to me about being in the BKB and the American Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Oh, it means a lot, Tom. You know, it was hearsay for a while, BKB Hall of Fame. Nobody was in there. There wasn't such a thing at the time. Like, you're going in the Hall of Fame. I heard that off Jim. You're going in the Hall of Fame. I heard that off Joe. It never happened. But then when it really happened then, but it was over the moon. Jim sent me a photo of the custom-made Sean George Hall of Fame belt, and that just blew me away, that I did. And it didn't end there then. They invited me and my family up there, like, and I was able to take Ayla and Avi and Abby in the ring, like, something which
Brilliant.
I'd never done before, Tom. So it just got better and better and better, but it was amazing. And then obviously when I got inducted into the Hall of Fame then, America, by Scott Burt, alongside some wicked names, Tom, from all around the world. You know, Baz was on there, Clive was on there, I'm on there. You know, it's amazing, but you know, so I feel very proud and privileged, but to be in the Hall of Fame. I know I don't know where to say this now, but Scott Burt have contacted me. He got something else going on here, and they're gonna make me another special belt. They are, Tom,
Wow.
to appreciate my achievements. Like, you know, so it's
Your
gonna happen around
contribution to the
July
sport.
time, I think.
You've made a
Yeah, he
great
said you better make.
contribution. You've made a
Yeah,
wonderful
so yeah, I got to.
contribution to the sport.
Yes, you know, like I said, I set the path, but I made my own path. I set the path, and there's a lot of people following it now. Like, you know, with the training and, you know, the way you act and our fight days and before and after and things, like, you know. So, yeah, being like a role model, Tom, you know, I'm proud of that.
There was a little time, I think you told me yourself, where you turned away from this organization, but you came back pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was a bit of animosity going on. It was. I didn't want to get right into it now, but it was to do with Eric Olsen. I felt pushed into a corner. I felt like they took his side over me. So I just beat Nathan Lisa, and he was still chirping up. He was after I beat him twice. So I felt no option, Tom, but to leave. It was really getting to me, but he was mailing my mother. He was mailing Abby. He was mailing my sister. Really personal stuff. He mentioned my kids and all that, Tom. And I said to Jim and Joe about it, and nothing much was done. And not down to them, obviously. You know Eric, but he's a loose cannon, and you know I just felt like I had to leave. But so I went for a bit, and obviously I didn't win for long because I come straight back
And the rest
like
is
a
history.
boomerang.
And
And the rest is history. But yeah, you know me and Eric have had history, but it is what it is. I don't waste any mental strength on any of my ex-opponents. I don't. But the past is in the past. But you know.
do you not fancy passing on your experience and your talent to young fighters?
Yeah, lots of people have said that, but when you train me, when you train me, Giffy, you've said the same. The gym is always open for me, Tom. But with my day job, but you know, I couldn't take the summer being a gym 5, 6 o'clock, and I'm stuck on the M4 in traffic, and I have to let them down. So if I was to go down that road, but I'd probably have to give up my job, like, you know, and that'd be a massive step. That wouldn't it wouldn't be as secure, like, you know,
Did you
something
have
like COVID come around again and turned all the gyms upside down. I'd be left buggered then.
as a young as a young
I'm lucky to have my job. See, Tom, I work direct for this company, whereas all the rest of the boys are agency boys. A bit of rain come now, they could get all fired at any time. Come Friday this week, now it could be their last. With me, see,
Wow.
they can't do that to me. you know, it's called, it's hire and fire, isn't it? You know, so yeah, I work direct, and obviously they can't just terminate my my employment. Like, you know, they've stuck with me. I've been here 9 years now.
Who were your, as a young man, who were your boxing inspirations? Did you have any?
I didn't really, but I was more into the MMA, and I was back then, all the early fighters, like, you know, the Tito Ortiz, the Chuck Liddells and all that. I weren't really a boxing fan coming up, like.
No. Did you have a favourite fighter in BKB?
Well, it wasn't around back then, was it? But I've always looked at the Jimmy Sweeney.
Now, I'm on about, I mean, as you've been in BKB, who's your favourite fighter?
I've always looked at the Jimmy Sweeney, I have, but, you know, the king. You know, he paved his own path for everybody, and, you know, he'd been through the highs and the lows, depression and all that, like, and now to come back from what he's been through now, you know, you have to have admiration for that. So, yeah, I've always looked at the Jimmy Sweeney in the early days, like, you know, the Kev Bennett, the Scott Midgley's and all that, like, you know, all names I've gone and forgotten about now. So, yeah, I've always looked up to the top boys because I wasn't on their level at the time, see, Tom?
Yeah, but now you're the one other people are looking up to.
Yeah, that's right, Dad. But
you're now looking forward to BKB 31, and you're going to be joining the commentary team.
Yeah,
you're going to be joining me on the commentary team, as we talked about earlier. I'm just trying to work out. Do you see maybe that could be a little bit of something for you in the future?
Yeah, I'll welcome anything with open arms. Joe Brown have offered me a job as a liaison officer. Instead of speaking to him, they could speak to me. At the moment, I've got a lot of problems going on, so I need to sort myself out before I sort everybody else out. But yeah, I'll always want to be a part of it, Tom, like, you know, behind the scenes, whether it's just running back and forth the dressing room, collecting fighters, you know, a liaison officer, commentary. You know, even if I'm just as a spectator, but I'm happy. Like, you know, as long as I'm a part of it, I'll always stay loyal to BKB, Tom. I've had offers to go elsewhere and watch other shows and all that, but you know, I won't do that. Like, you know, Joe Brown has stayed loyal to me, but and I'll return that now by staying loyal to them. Like,
it is, and I found that they've been very loyal and respectful to me as a person as well. And I think that counts for me, but. What I've enjoyed most is it does, and I know it sounds a bit old hat, but it is really a family, the BKB.
It is, but yeah, you know, I couldn't ask for more, but I've met some wicked people, but it is like a family, Tom, like, you know.
Yeah. And I think that to me is the camaraderie, the meeting on fight day, the showtime, and I think that's it's what like I would miss, like, even from outside the ring.
Yeah, I do. I'd miss it. I'd miss my BKB family, but, you know, yeah, it's fucking shit, Tom, and there, man.
Are you, when you sit at home, just finally, when you sit at home and we're heading towards BKB 31, is that the toughest time for you? Is that when you think, maybe I could give it another go? Is that when,
it's always in my mind. It's always on my mind now, Tom. Just one more. Do it again. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. But that one more could be the final one, like, you know, to lose an eye, Tom, but people don't realize, man, you know, until something like happens to them or happened to me, but it's like a massive life alteration. But to lose an eye, I could end up losing my job, my house, everything I worked so hard to get. I'd end up going down the toilet, like, you know.
And your family would suffer.
Yeah, my family would suffer. You know, like I said, it'd be stupid to go back. Not only stupid, it'd be selfish. But I'd never say never, Tom. But if I'm ever in that rut and I got no other options, but and I'm looking to lose my house and wherever, I'll have to get back in there, but I'll do a Dan Chapman, like, you know, just go on the back foot, bob and weave.
Well, I'm looking forward to sitting alongside you at BKB 31. It's been...
Yeah, I can't wait back.
It's been fantastic. Guys, everybody listening, we'd love you to give us a review. If you like what you've heard from Sean and myself, leave us a review, good or bad. We want to know how you feel about us, because we've enjoyed it.
Speaking of nice guys, there's no animosity.
No, it's been a pleasure talking to you, pal. It always is. And I can't wait to sit alongside you. Thanks for talking to the BKB official podcast.
No problem, Tom. Always a pleasure, Tom. And I look forward to seeing you now next Sunday and everybody at the show, the BKB family. I miss you all. So don't be afraid to come up to me and approach me and whatever. Have a photo and a chat. And man, I can't wait.
Brilliant, mate. Listen, take care. Back to work for you now.
Back to work for me, Tom. Break time's over, son.
Great. Good. God bless you, mate. Thanks for talking to me.